This episode is brought to you by Podmetrics, your one-stop shop for all your podcast data needs. Podmetrics aggregates data from Anchor, Spotify, Chartable, Facebook Live, and YouTube in order to show you the real picture of how your show is doing. The best part is, it's absolutely free. Sign up now at podmetrics.co and don't forget to use the referral code GEEKYJUANS. That's Geeky, J-U-A-N-S. Podmetrics, the only analytics you'll ever need for your podcast.
Welcome to the Geeky Ones, a geeky podcast talking about video game, comics, wrestling, anime, anything cartoons, movies, anything geeky under the sun. So I'm Jude, next to me is Steven.
Hello.
So yeah, that's awesome. Our episode for today is video game what if. So we were inspired by, you know, what if Marvel's What If, and you know, yep. Marvel's What If has been pretty insane. I mean, mm-hmm. It's been pretty fun because they've delved into a good amount of what if scenarios for the past four episodes, diba? Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite episode was probably 2 and 4. The reason mm-hmm. episode 2 is what if T'Challa became Star-Lord, and 4 is the one about Doctor Strange. I can't say that much without spoiling.
I haven't watched any of the what ifs yet, but I'm really curious because I read a few of the older what if comics, like what if the Phoenix Force went pure evil, and Jean Grey basically became pure evil. That was a really fun read. So mm-hmm. It was crazy because basically, Jean Grey no longer had any control over the Phoenix Force. So, wala na magawa yung X-Men, basically game over, you know? So, that was an interesting read. That's basically a lot of how the What Ifs movie stories go, di ba?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. My light's broken. Oh, man.
What? Never mind. No, it's fine.
Yeah. All right. Sige.
Fine.
People are going to be listening to this anyway. So yeah, the inspiration is the Marvel What If comics.
Yeah, there are also a lot of ridiculous what ifs, right? Remember they also made it in like they also made it kind of like a joke time in some parts.
Yeah, medyo.
Diba? Like yeah. I think one of my favorite ones was what if Iron Man, I forgot the other characters, Iron Man, Wolverine, and Magneto are in the same room, in the same elevator, and you know, they just stick into him.
Yeah, that'd be
and
fun.
Silver Surfer paga, so like, it was really dumb, but yun.
What if Silver Surfer betrayed Galactus though and stuff?
It's really well, fun. he did eventually, so that's
yeah. Or like, what if he became like a servant of Galactus forever? Parang ganun. Really cool mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
Ayan.
So wait, I'm just sharing the episode to people to various groups. It's really awesome though. So yeah, today we're gonna talk about video game what ifs. So what if scenarios that could have changed gaming history. We have 11 points to talk about, and mm-hmm. they're all pretty loaded. I mean, there are many what ifs that could we wish happen in the video game industry, and there's just it's just a real, real trip. It's just a really big trip. So yeah, we're gonna talk about a lot. So it's from like, you know, well, we're gonna talk about this guy on my background, this little box here, this little gray, white, beige box, a remnant of a failed partnership. So. That's gonna be cool. And apart from that, yeah, that's it. We're gonna talk about 11 video game what ifs, and we'll start with the first one. Now, Steven, did you know Apple made a game console before?
Yeah, I remember they had something, but I don't know like if it was it like the 3DO or something, or is that
no,
somebody
no,
else?
3DO was Panasonic, and
okay.
Apple made a game console called the Pippin.
Yeah, I've heard of that. But not
It was familiar. Weird. It was weird. Yeah. Okay. It was a weird ass console. It failed.
Of
course it did. It failed. But, you know, it was it was an attempt for Apple to try and enter the gaming market. And you know, Apple has always, you know, the Mac has been a really, really unusual gaming platform. Because it's not all games run on Mac, can run on Mac. Yeah. It takes a while before a Mac version arrives, or it doesn't arrive at all, and you have to get a Windows compatible PC or laptop. So it's unfortunate. So that one, our very first what if is, what if Apple got into gaming in the 90s and 2000s? And, for the 90s, what if they succeeded? What if the Pippin failed? Sure. What if they pushed the Mac as, like, apart from being an alternative to Microsoft Windows, what if they also pushed it to be a viable gaming platform that could, you know, equal Microsoft Windows performance? Diba? It's a nice thought. Yeah.
It would be very interesting because we all know what happened in the 2000s when the Dreamcast, you know, died, which we will talk about later. But when Microsoft's Xbox came out, I kind of wondered later on, what if Apple had their own console at the time? Like, what would have happened? Like, would Apple have continued this train of innovation with the iPhone, the iPod, and such? Parang feeling ko, if Apple became a video game company, we would not see the iPhone, possibly. Possibility lang. Not saying it's a guarantee. Pero hindi ba possible na baka they're just going to focus on video games because they know that, oh, we can innovate more here instead of, you know, on other devices.
Yeah. Would be interesting. But I do remember that, you know, the iPod and iPhone were made by one of their designers.
Mm-hmm.
Their lead designer. So I think they would have made that along with their gaming. Now, we talk about the Mac, right? We talk about the Macintosh being a very successful alternative, diba? A rival to Microsoft until now. It's either you go for a Mac or a really good Windows laptop, you know? And it's a really big decision for a lot of people. Because Macs work. Macs are really strong platforms for work and Although, worth noting, Steven, that Apple has Apple Arcade right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Good gaming platform because it's like a Game Pass for mobile and indie games. It's a really solid package of indie games and mobile games, and it's a really good deal for what it's worth. But yet, you would wish, diba, the Mac could have been a really strong gaming platform with, like, especially with the processing power that Apple has on the Mac when it comes to multitasking. Like, you know, there's a reason why Macs are really good work laptops.
That is true. They're
really smooth. They're really smooth when it comes to office apps.
I think one of the best parts of the Mac is that, it really is for creatives. And I feel like gaming would have been a nice thing to fix. Pero sadly, a lot of video games are not made with the Macs in consideration. Pero for video editing, among other things, sobrang galing naman. Yeah.
See, you would imagine how powerful, how good gaming would run. But the problem is, Macintosh systems tend to struggle. But yeah, if ever, you know, this is a what if that's not too late. You know, this is something that could still happen to something that could still happen to Apple in the near future. Really awesome. So now our next one, you mentioned the Xbox, Steven. So mentioned Microsoft entering the gaming market during the early 2000s to compete with Sony and Nintendo. Really bold decision that, you know, helped that paid off in the long term because they have the PC market. They have Xbox, and you know, the Xbox was innovative in its own way, and it was the most powerful console of its generation and for the other generation too. Here's a question. Ooh. Now, what if Microsoft didn't make the Xbox and instead just focused on PC, on Windows? Right? What if they just focused on being a Windows exclusive Windows platform? And not make this one.
Okay. We would, if it wasn't for Microsoft, we would not have one of the greatest video game control designs ever, which was the Xbox 360. Kasi ako, kahit ako, Sony person, I'm a Sony player. But I have to admit, the Xbox 360 controller is timeless.
Oh, Steven, you should try the Xbox One controller at least.
Hmm.
That feels good on the hand. That feels good on the hands.
Diba? Parang,
Xbox controllers feel good.
I mean, okay, first they fail. Okay, admittedly, they had some growing pains with the original Xbox controller. And my cousin had an Xbox, so I tried to
play, like, is that, that's the Duke controller talking.
The fat one, yeah. The fat controller. As in, parang hindi, walang like mold or anything for that. Walang grooves for the hands. And then, ano nga, diba, sabi nga ng Microsoft, like, the reason why they had to change the controller was because they had to adapt to the Asian fans who had smaller hands. And it worked.
Actually, in general, even even Western, even American and European players don't like it because it was really big. It was unwieldy, so it wasn't
friendly,
most comfy controller.
Yeah.
Although I recently saw it in a stream where someone used it to play Apex Legends
with a fat controller.
With the Duke, yeah, I think it was the Duke controller.
Well, I mean, ako,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go. It's fine.
Okay. So sa tingin ko kasi, if Microsoft never entered gaming, they would just be another software company. Like that's it. Like maybe they would still be doing, you know, Microsoft Teams and such. Pero it would be such a weird world without the Xbox. Kasi nasanay na ang tao with the Xbox. And I mean, come on, Halo happened. And Halo's like what? How many Halos are we at now? Five?
Five, not including ODST and Reach.
Yeah. So let's count the main game, the mainline games on five.
There are at least seven big Halo games.
Imagine mo, without the Xbox, that wouldn't happen. Parang feeling ko Microsoft knew that they were about to enter like a market that was about to change forever. Kasi for the longest time, diba, it was Sega, Sony, and yeah, Sega, Sony, Nintendo for that period. And then things changed when the Dreamcast failed. Feeling ko talaga, if the Dreamcast succeeded, we would not see the Xbox until now. That's the way I see it. But that's for another item.
Okay, worth noting that if the Xbox didn't exist, it's not just losing Halo and Gears of War.
Yeah.
It's also losing Xbox Live, which was like the platform that helped make online multiplayer what it is today.
I mean,
MMORPGs were the first one that made like online communities huge, diba? That was one thing. But the fact that Xbox Live was able to make it like in the home console, help connect home consoles together, that was a game changer because people can now play with their friends away, diba? Across the internet. So and meet new people across Xbox Live. And it was so effective that, you know, until now, online multiplayer has been the best innovation of probably the last decade and a half in video games. It was really great.
And personally, personally for me, well, it didn't happen until, well, the Dreamcast was the original console that had online play.
Yeah.
But not as refined as Xbox Live. So ako personally, I feeling ko, again, had the Dreamcast not been rushed, the Xbox Live maybe Xbox Live still would have beaten the Dreamcast if there was no proper system. But feeling ko lang talaga, a lot of these things that we have now is because of the Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
That's me. Looking at the comments, imagine the Xbox never being created. So, the greatest Star Wars game will never be released, thanks to the Old Republic.
Fudge.
And you remember, BioWare, before Mass Effect, BioWare got its huge start with the Xbox with Knights of the Old Republic and Jade Empire. And those two games were like very crucial and fundamental to their how they approach developing RPGs their own way, and that was would have been a huge blow to the gaming industry. And also, you know, Sega would have completely died. It would have died even more without the Xbox, because the Sega latched onto Microsoft. They had a partnership like post Dreamcast. Okay, next that up. This is your entry, Steven. What if The Sims failed? Let's set this up. So The Sims is one of the biggest gaming franchises around. It's an immersive sim. Am I right?
It's an immersive simulation of life.
Yeah, it's basically a Second Life simulator in some way.
Pretty much.
It's kind of closer to a God game too. You know, you're pretty much playing God. God/ interior designer of the families that are present in the game, and you know it's made by Maxis, published by EA, and
R.I.P. Maxis, the studio.
Yeah, and until now it's still very successful, highly profitable, huge communities, modding communities. People create a lot of stuff in this, you know. In a world where creativity is like plentiful in video games, you know, The Sims kind of helped pave the way for like that amount of customization. So now our question is, what if The Sims failed the first game and then we never got that franchise?
I feel like Will Wright would have not been as rich as he is today, and he would have not been able to make Spore. It would just be different. Kasi feeling ko, games like Roller Coaster Tycoon or Malt Tycoon Simulator or whatever you call it would have been the big games, not The Sims. Mm-hmm. Pero ang weird kasi ang laki ng impact ng Sims, because I think what I note, if I recall correctly, the largest user base of The Sims is female, not male. So that's why it was so big, because it captured a market that not many video game makers used to cater to before.
Say that a good 90% of video game, 80 to 90%, a huge chunk would be hard to catch on, because
yeah, exactly.
And you know, Sims is a game for everyone in that exactly. sense.
I mean, ako personally, fine. Kids, do not play computer games super early, because I was like 7 or 8 when I discovered The Sims, or I was 9 years old. So we were playing Sims 1 just like mad. Like, we were making characters like JBL, Orlando Jordan. We made them a gay couple, and we didn't know that Orlando Jordan was gay in real life. We downloaded mods of characters from Gundam Seed. So we had Kira Yamato and Lacus Klein and, you know, all of Athra and all of these characters in The Sims 1 mod. We downloaded mods and it was insane. We did so much with the mods. Feeling ko, if it wasn't for The Sims, a lot of modders would not exist today sa video games.
Grabe. The modding community was later boosted by an engine called Source from Half-Life 2. So that was another crazy ride.
So feeling ko, if The Sims failed, we would not have a lot of modders. We would not have a lot of casual gaming users that we don't usually have anymore. Dati kasi, diba, you know, everybody played video games, pero like, kahit light lang. But now, like with The Sims, it really changed. Kasi ngayon, there really is a market for, you know, casual gaming. Now you just don't do anything, I guess, insane. Not insane, but like, there's a market for relaxed games. Unless you're the type of simmer who, you know, likes to make a Sim's life miserable, which I have done.
Watch the world burn.
So yeah, you watch the world burn, man.
Okay, let's go. Next up, we have... what if MMORPGs didn't happen? Now, wait. MMORPGs happened during the 80s.
Yeah.
And eventually to the 90s and 2000s. So, you know, they helped create the gaming community that we know today, you know? Now, for better or for worse, that, you know, we created an online gaming community that helped gaming grow, help the gamer population grow, and reach different areas of the world. Because let's hit off with the take here that I think if MMORPGs didn't happen, we wouldn't have had expanded gaming into worldwide success that as fast as it could have in the 90s and 2000s. Like, some regions would have taken a while longer to experience gaming without the availability of MMORPGs or online games. Because MMORPGs, honestly, like Ultima Online, RuneScape, RuneScape is still alive, the old one. You know, we wouldn't have seen how influential it would have shaped gaming, you know. And I think it would have hurt online multiplayer games then, if that happened. See, we wouldn't have had my question here, Steven, is, do you think we would have had we would have had less or more multiplayer games if MMORPGs didn't happen?
I don't think so. I personally don't think so. If it wasn't for the success of MMORPGs at Ragnarok, feeling ko personally, we would not have had games like Dota or ML. I think ML counts as like it's a MOBA, but it's still an MMORPG, diba? In a way.
Well, it's a MOBA for the most part, but yeah. You know, I don't think we would have had competitive multiplayer would have been set back. By a long shot there, by a lot of days.
And like a lot of things like years. Esports, man.
Yeah, it would have slowed down the development of esports, and all we have are LAN, or like couch console gaming.
Like, yeah, you know? Counter-Strike is an MMORPG, diba? Is it?
No, it's not. MMORPGs are RPGs that are online. So Ragnarok, EverQuest, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy XIV,
Neopets
are online. Yeah, Neopets counts on that aspect. More than competitive games. So MMORPGs have a huge mark in making online gaming grow, and losing, not having that is a huge what if that would have had more implications for the future. Now, here's another one for implications. So what if the Command & Conquer series was never bought by EA? Now, let's set this up. Westwood Studios was made... Command & Conquer was made by Westwood Studios, known for being the... not really pioneers, maybe, of the RTS genre, but helped make real-time strategy popular. One of their very first popular real-time strategy games, Stephen, a successful one, was not Command & Conquer.
What was it?
It was Dune 2.
Wow.
It was a video game based on Dune. And if you see the gameplay of the Dune game made by Westwood Studios, you would see the makings of Command & Conquer in that game. Like the interface, the whole interface and the perspective
with the sidebar, the side menu.
Much of the game design is there. The Command & Conquer series was made by Westwood Studios, and later on it was bought by EA in the mid 2000s. So that was during Command & Conquer Generals.
Yes, Generals was the first Command & Conquer under EA.
Generals, Red Alert 3.
Yeah.
And Command & Conquer Tiberium Wars.
Yes,
arc of Command & Conquer. But then, of course, you know, Command & Conquer, along with a lot of RTS games, kind of died. I mean, even Age of Empires, despite it surviving a lot, it never caught on as a bigger franchise than what RTS games were before. All we're left right now are simulation type games, turn based, real time strategy games like Civilization, Tropico, city management sims like City Skylines,
SimCity.
there's a recent revival of tycoon games. I forgot the Zoo game. It's not Zoo Tycoon. It was like a spiritual successor to They made spiritual successors to Zoo Tycoon, Roller Coaster Tycoon, and They made I forgot the names of the games, but there was a revival of those games recently. Mm. Like they're not remakes. They just had the same spirit of the games that they wanted of people of the games that they played before and you know just caught on. So yeah. Now, what if the Command & Conquer series was never bought by EA? My take here, Steven, is despite the EA kind of hurt the Command & Conquer series, I think Command & Conquer would have been bought by someone else still. Westwood Studios would have been bought by someone else. A good thing is, I think here, Steven, what if it was bought by someone like Microsoft, diba? Microsoft or Valve. That made Half-Life and now has Steam. Now has Steam, so that's why they don't bother making games that much anymore, diba? And all they do is update, all they do is update CSGO and Dota 2.
Played Left 4 Dead 2 last weekend.
That's my question there. Now, I think they would have been there. That's not my question. That's my take. I think they would have been bought eventually by another group entirely. So I think someone like Valve or Microsoft would have been great fits because it makes sense because they're PC. Yeah. Microsoft and Valve are PC, PC gaming royalty. And there's no doubt they would have had done something with Command & Conquer. And imagine if Command & Conquer were in the Source engine. We're in Source 2, Half-Life 2. Imagine all the crazy-ass physics you can do with that. Or if if Command & Conquer had Microsoft hardware and kind of looked like as smooth and clean as Halo early back in the day.
Oh my gosh. That would be insane. Yeah,
Steven, now your take on this one. That's mine.
Okay, personally, feeling ko, yes, they would have been bought out by another company, pero feeling ko, we would have not seen the end of the franchise.
Okay.
Because EA, I think natapos siya around the Tiberium storyline. And then after that...
Oh, they made
a
mobile game of that, by the way. Command & Conquer. So we don't talk about that, but yeah, it happened. So.
Yeah, it happened and it failed. Yun nga, feeling ko it would have not been the EA strategy of spin-off after spin-off after spin-off. Just go straight storyline. Or just have an original story. You know, just keep going with Red Alert. Like, we would have had, like, what? We would be at, like, Red Alert 6 or 5 by now.
5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on their sked. If it's a bit late, it's we're like at 4, 5. So that's fine.
And I would not mind. Cause I mean the Red Alert store Red Alert 3 gave us Tim Curry saying ayan.
But then again, me and my friends look back at Command & Conquer General's voice lines.
Oh,
they did not age well. As memorable and iconic as they were. A lot of them didn't age well.
A lot of things like, did not age well in the Command & Conquer series. Let's just say that.
Like if you put it on a present context and posted it somewhere, you would get the social media firestorm that you wouldn't canceled. Have wished for. It's well, we can't really share much of those, but yeah, it was really controversial stuff.
Very hardcore.
It was crazy.
I mean,
the stereotypes in let's just put it.
General.
The stereotypes in Command & Conquer are just so caricature-like and really awful. It's in a point of parody, rin naman.
Yeah, yeah. But remember about the GLA in Generals happened around the same time the war in the Middle East was happening.
War on Terror, pretty much.
Yeah, the War on Terror was happening.
War on Terror was on the heights, so people were just like. It was acceptable, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it was controversial at takes. But hey, let's go with another hot one.
Yes.
This one is big. What if Konami let Hideo Kojima work?
Ooh.
You know, what if they just let him delay Metal Gear Solid 5, let him take his time with it. You know, maybe Metal Gear Solid 5 would be released in 2016 rather than 2015.
Yeah.
And you know what? And Silent Hills, the project with him and Norman Reedus and Guillermo del Toro, would happen.
Feeling ko ano?
Yeah. It would happen.
Feeling ko, yeah, I agree. But I think if Konami let Hideo Kojima work, I don't think we would have gotten yung game with Norman Reedus. What's it called again?
Oh yeah. Oh well. Okay, that's trending. Now let's talk about now. The reason why Death Stranding happened is because Silent Hills didn't happen and Kojima really wanted to work with Del Toro and Norman Reedus so bad that he went to Sony with Kojima Productions and made Death Stranding. But if Kojima had his way in Konami, Norman Reedus would be the Silent Hills protagonist.
Ah,
so either way naman, it would still happen. Now, for Metal Gear Solid 5, this would mean that the game would be completed. It would have had chapter 51 or maybe even until 53. Maybe they ended with Venom Snake fighting against Solid. You, the player, the one controlling Venom Snake, fighting Solid Snake. In like a remake of the first Metal Gear boss fight, because the very first Metal Gear boss fight was Big Boss, was Venom Snake, the so-called fake Big Boss, the one who took his place as a decoy for like decades, for a decade and a half. So yon, it would have been nice because based on the missing content, they would have explored Liquid Snake's origin story. Because in Metal Gear Solid 5, Steven, Liquid Snake was a kid.
Huh.
You get him as a kid.
I thought 5 was a sequel, not a prequel.
No, it was a prequel. It was it was just a way to flesh out the remaining timeline gap from Metal Gear to Metal Gear Solid 3 and Peace Walker, which is the Cold War arc, just to finish the Big Boss story arc. So, yeah. But, yeah, it would have been interesting to see how it would have panned out, because, you know, we would have wanted a full Metal Gear Solid 5. I would have, people would have cried. I would have cried, like, if they completed that, because it would have been the most perfect ending to a franchise. I mean, Metal Gear Solid 5 was great still, despite being incomplete, but you would wish that a few more missions would have just made it, like, the best, one of the best games of the 2010s. It would have given Witcher 3 a legit run for its money in that same year, in 2015. Or it could have been released in another year and became Game of the Year in its own area, diba? So, yeah. And, yeah, also worth noting that Castlevania is a Konami franchise. And the guy who made Castlevania left Konami and he made Bloodstained. Ritual of the Night. So he made the Bloodstained series as a successor to Castlevania, and now it's doing well because it feels like Castlevania, because he was able to make it. He was given another opportunity to make it. But then again, you know, creators leaving their own series happens all the time in video games. The guy who made Final Fantasy left after 9. So 10 onwards was made by Square Enix without him.
Yeah.
But yet, he was able to leave created Mistwalker Studios, created RPGs that he was able to... created his own set of RPGs that were really good. Another one, last one. Shinji Mikami, the guy who made Resident Evil. He left Capcom, I think. I forgot if it's after 4 or after 3. Or after 5. But he made The Evil Within 1 and 2. For Bethesda. So he was able to make his core vision there. Yeah. That was nice. Now, we mentioned Square Enix, but back then when they were Squaresoft, they were on fire in the 80s for Nintendo because they had this little series called Final Fantasy. And they had another crazy ass game with Chrono Trigger, which people consider to be like, you know, maybe top 5, top 10 best games of all time. Great. Okay. Like, nothing comes short of it. And they also made Super Mario RPG, which was weird, but it worked so well that people love it. Because they made it work. It was so viable that it was another Squaresoft hit. But then the PlayStation happened.
Ooh, Squaresoft tried to move to
PlayStation.
Hmm.
And you know, we had Final Fantasy VII, and that changed a lot of things for gaming. You know, it turned the PlayStation into like top console of the decade, and helped make PlayStation the top selling console franchise until now, diba? So, but hey, my question right now is, what if Squaresoft didn't move to PlayStation and stuck with Nintendo? And just kept making hit after Final Fantasy RPG hit after hit with the N64. Now, one argument here is that the reason that Squaresoft moved to Sony is that the hardware of the N64 was not enough for what they wanted, the grand visions that they wanted for what Final Fantasy would be next, diba? 7, 8, 9 were really huge Final Fantasy games. They even have FF Tactics. For that matter, which was another awesome title. But yeah, what if Squaresoft just stuck with Nintendo? Now, Steven, that's the question for this one, this part.
Huh. I feel like a large part of Sony would not have succeeded if it wasn't for Squaresoft. So, I mean, diba, I think Parasite Eve wasn't exclusive to Sony. Like, a lot of games of Squaresoft were exclusive to Sony.
Every Squaresoft game at that time was exclusive. Parasite Eve, Xenogears, which is
Kingdom
like,
Hearts, diba?
Kingdom Hearts was PlayStation. Final Fantasy 10, 11, and 10 and 12 were until 12. All Final Fantasies until 12 were exclusive to PlayStation, with a few exceptions. Although in the 2000s, Square Enix did go back to Nintendo with Crystal Chronicles and Tactics Advance, and they also had 11 on the PC. But it was mostly a PlayStation show for Square Enix and Squaresoft Square Enix. Because even Dragon Quest, diba Square Enix. They merged with Enix. Dragon Quest was also PS, was also on the PlayStation.
Oh my gosh.
Until after, like, in the next console generation, where Square Enix just left that exclusivity and went open with everyone.
Yeah. So feeling ko personally, if Squaresoft never went exclusive to Sony for a while, the PlayStation would not have been as big as it is today, for me personally. So that's my take.
Okay. But yeah, Final Fantasy VII was such a system seller. Squaresoft games were such system sellers that it would have hurt to have them on the Nintendo 64 if we were Sony, on the perspective of Sony right there. So that's one thing. So yeah. Now, here's another one. Now, Steven, this is another game company sticking to a platform. And it's another Nintendo-related thing. What if Rare stayed with Nintendo? What if Rare, the guys who made GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong Country, just stayed with Nintendo and never went to Microsoft?
That is a hard decision. What other games did Rare make after they left Nintendo?
Okay, here. People argue that Rare going to Microsoft was a bad move because they were never able to capture the same level of quality that they had with Microsoft, with Nintendo, with the Nintendo games that they did. Okay, let's looking at it. You know, Rare was still able to make games under Nintendo during the mid-2000s. They made Donkey Kong Country 2. They made some re-releases for the Game Boy Advance. But apart from that, they were exclusively Xbox for much of that run. Until now, they still are. So that's one thing. So the question here, what happened after is that Until now, Rare has never caught the magic or the game quality that they had with Nintendo. Kasi, let's see what the games they had. They had for one of their first Xbox games was grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
It was an Xbox game. It was an okay title, but yeah, not something memorable. Ayun. Okay, next up they had a remake of Conker. Conker's Bad Fur Day. They had Conker Ivan Reloaded, which was nice, but people didn't like it because it kind of the remake kind of removed the charm of what made Conker like a cutesy mature rated game. Right?
Yeah.
Cutesy bloody game with the talking piece of shit. Well, that was it. That was essentially it. So we talk about next up they had Cameo Elements of Power. We don't know what the I don't even know this game. I forgot that this game existed. If ever, it was solid, but you know, not something that would, you know, once again, not something that would change, not something that would help sell the system as much as GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. But GoldenEye was like a very innovative first-person shooter.
One of the greatest Bond game ever, diba?
Yeah, it showed that you can make FPS games work on console.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
They never had
a huge game. They tried to make a sequel to Perfect Dark, or I think it was a prequel, Perfect Dark Zero. That didn't work. They had Viva Piñata. Viva Piñata was cute and colorful, but not something that would have worked. They also tried Banjo-Kazooie again with Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
And Yooka-Laylee. I think.
If ever... One of the games that survived for them was Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct, which was a pretty good fighting game. Because they made Killer Instinct into 3D form. Because it was a Super Nintendo game. They they caught the spirit. That was one of the few instances they did. But yeah, they rarely do. And right now, they're the major game that people would say that Rare is somehow making it back is Sea of Thieves, which is an online pirate game. And you know, at first it didn't have that much content. Now they're just pouring a lot of updates and support into it, and it's a fun pirate game. You know, we love pirate games are fun. I mean, I know the golden age of piracy wasn't as fun and colorful as that, but hey, or even as bloody as what movies would tell. I mean, movies and games would tell us, you know.
Yeah.
Pirates don't really wreck ships. They just go there and, hey, can we have your ship? It's like it's a negotiation. It's like a hostage situation where their wish is not to have that much bloodshed. But yeah, Sea of Thieves is a really great game right now. And yeah, if Rare stayed with Nintendo, I know Sea of Thieves wouldn't happen. But hey, they might have created a few crazy good GameCube titles. Because what they would have wanted was to keep their keep the game franchises that they made to Nintendo. Perfect Dark would have still been Nintendo. Banjo-Kazooie would have still and Conker. So that's what they want, and they could maybe create new IPs with that. Now let's go. Next one is a bit for the 2010s ones. What if Amy Hennig didn't leave Naughty Dog? Now, Amy Hennig is a video game writer. One of the probably one of the most recognized women in the video game industry. She has written Legacy of Kain, the Legacy of Kain series, which until now she says is one of her greatest things that she made. Legacy of Kain for the PlayStation. And she also made the first three Uncharted games. She was the writer of that. And she left before 4. So would have changed the story and approach of 4, her leaving. Now my question is here, what if Amy Hennig didn't leave Naughty Dog? And would she have impacted how The Last of Us 1 and 2 and Uncharted 4 would have been written. Now, that's my question.
I think so. I mean,
oh, we're talking that Neil Druckmann also had a hand in Uncharted 4. That's one thing.
Pero kasi ba Uncharted 4 was it Uncharted 4? No, The Last of Us 2. Sorry, my dog's really loud because there's a cat outside. So The Last of Us 2. I mean, diba they say nga there was a self-inserted character into the game, which was one of the directors of the game. So The Last of Us 2.
Well, it was a controversial thing.
Yeah, but feeling ko that would have not had happened if Amy Hennig was there to like balance things out. Maybe, you know.
Yeah, especially with her brand of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because her storytelling involves a lot of supporting characters, fleshing out the main character. Like Nathan Drake always has Sully, always has Emily. Always has a lot of characters by his side. Because it helps flesh out like what he is, diba? Like his personality. So I think that would have helped. I think it would have helped the Joel Ellie dynamic even further in the first Last of Us. It would have it was great, but I think it would have been awesome, even awesome if they had that. So it would have been interesting to see her. She was supposed to lead a Star Wars game before in 2013. She was supposed to be the woman writing Star Wars 1013, which is like Boba Fett prequel. The Boba Fett prequel. Although that was canceled.
Fucking Disney, man. Fucking Disney.
Now she's hopefully she comes back with another banger of a video game because, you know, We miss her. If it wasn't
for Disney, we would have gotten the Boba Fett game that everybody has been waiting for. Because I saw the preview photos and
it was also made by Visceral, so the guys who made Dead Space. So that studio died with it too. Sad.
Oh man.
Anyway. Okay, now I guess Steven, I guess we talk about do we have any plugs to do? We have any friends?
Well, I mean, 99's coming.
Oh yeah, 99's coming. So let's go with thought. With
yeah, Shopee. Like if we could just like edit the little white bar in the bottom right now.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it says Shopee payday sale. Because maybe we could change it to Shopee's 99 sale. Because
Shopee 99.
A lot of people are really excited for Twice. So if ever there's like, you know, mga K-pop fans dyan. And I mean, let's face it, a lot of Twice's fan base is male. Do wait for the Shopee 99 TV special. During the show, you can get Shopee coins. You can, what else can you get? Oh yeah, you can get Shopee Pay discounts. Like you can get milk tea for 1 peso by just buying a coupon from Shopee Pay. Among other things, you can use our link, tinyurl.com/shopeetgj, to get discount vouchers, cashback, and much more during the 99 sale. And that is it for our friends with Shopee.
Okay. Now, we only have like two more entries, and they're pretty loaded. We were on a rush on that one. That was fun. Anyway, let's go. Let's keep it going then. What if Sega didn't fail during the 90s and 2000s? Okay. Now, let's talk about Sega. Kasi when Nintendo... I forgot an entry, Steven. I'm gonna rectify one thing for a bit.
Okay.
So, I forgot one.
Okay,
now we talk about Sega though. Sega entered the console market during the 80s, around the time of the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
And they made the Master System first, which was like an NES, but Sega. But hey, that wasn't successful. It was okay, but it changed when the Genesis arrived. And it fought the Super Nintendo and the Super Famicom head on in and North it was America.
It was very aggressive.
And it won the West. It won the West, essentially. Nintendo of America won over Sega of America won over Nintendo of America. But then, despite the success, Sega of America and Sega of Japan never really had a really strong relationship. They were conflicting because Sega of America was this like edgy badass teenager. They had the edgy cool persona that they wanted. But Sonic was cool. Was made to be cooler than Mario. Was like the dude.
Dago awesome fast. Teenager.
Diba? Yeah. Compared to Nintendo's kid-friendly image. So they wanted a bit more mature games. And of course, that also backfired because the ESRB was created because of what Sega was doing. Sega allowed to be done on their platform. So that was...
Mortal Kombat, right?
Yeah, that was another... That's another thing in itself. But then again, Sega was also desperate to dominate the console market, just beat Nintendo, that, you know, they also tried to make the Genesis last longer than the Super Nintendo by adding the 32X and the CD-ROM. So the way that you do that is you put your Genesis, you put the device on top of the Genesis, and you put another one on top of the Genesis. So now you have a stereo system, essentially. But it doesn't do any sound. It just... hopefully creates better games. But you know, the thing was, it didn't catch on and it just hampered Sega when they made the Saturn. Now, the Saturn was like a panic move. They were so scared of the PlayStation during that time and the N60, the PlayStation, that they released it too early. They surprise released it on E3 and people were mad because why is this suddenly releasing? Like, it was in a panic and it was expensive.
Yeah. It was $3.99.
Yeah, it was $3.99. Suppliers were mad at Sega. Like, why the hell would you even rush us to do this?
Exactly.
And people didn't want that.
And it backfired, right? It backfired. Because Sony went like $2.99.
When Sega announced in E3 that the Saturn was $3.99. A guy from Sony walks up to the podium and just says $2.99 and left the podium and just wrecked Sega the same way that Sony was able to wreck Microsoft in 2013 in EA by showing how to share games by just passing the disc to a friend, diba? But Sony has its own awful stuff. But hey, Sega was really awful on this aspect because they weren't able to latch on to their success in the late 80s and early 90s. Because the problem was Sega just was in panic mode for the past year. The Saturn, even though the Saturn was more expensive, it was in a bit less powerful. It had some great games on it.
Yeah.
It had Nights into Dreams. It had Virtual Fighter was decent. It had Panzer Dragoon. Panzer Dragoon is a good game. Panzer Dragoon is like probably one of the greatest Saturn games around. It would have had Phantasy Star if it lasted longer.
Oh man.
The Phantasy Star was in the Dreamcast. Now, okay, now the Saturn failed, sad. But hey, they had one more chance. They had one more chance with the Dreamcast, released a bit earlier than the Xbox and the GameCube, and earlier than the PS2, Xbox. And
way GameCube. Too early. Way too early.
But hey, but the thing was, it wasn't the fact that it was too early. It was a lot of factors because the Dreamcast was powerful enough to survive the generation war of that.
Yeah,
it had online capability. The online capability was kind of near the level of what Xbox Live is.
Yeah.
It's like Grand Fantasy Star online, smoothly. And, you know, I mean, even though it had Seaman, it had a lot of games. It had Soul Calibur. It was a console that can play next-gen arcade games at that time. Mm. 16 frames per second. I mean,
don't forget the 2K series.
Yeah, and then it had 2K, Sega. It had 2K. It had 2K was like the answer to and to EA sports franchises, and somehow, and you know, in a way, it kind of destroyed a few of the EA ones, while some of 2K's stuff got wrecked too. I mean, it was a huge, kind of, they really dropped the ball. But then the problem was it may not be the release date or maybe the anticipation for the other consoles. But I think it was also piracy, because piracy was very rampant in the Dreamcast. It was easier. It was the easiest console to pirate.
Talaga?
Yeah, it was easily piratable. Like, I remember early, like when I was a kid, I would see pirated Dreamcast games next to the likes of pirated PS2. PlayStation games.
Yeah.
PS1 games for the most part.
Okay.
Kasi,
ganyan siya kaaga.
Yeah, it was pirated a lot. And that hurt sales. Tsaka, yun nga, there were good games in the Dreamcast. But yeah, Jet Set Radio, holy crap. That was a good one. Tony Hawk games were on Dreamcast up until Tony Hawk 3.
It could have been
something. Code Veronica was on the Dreamcast. Resident Evil Code Veronica, which was a really solid Resident Evil spin-off. Was there. So, you know, I think the only concern here is what if Sega just didn't go into a panic, or maybe maybe Sega of America and Japan just got their shit together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would have seen more Sega consoles. Now, Steven, I would have loved to guess what could have been the names of future Sega, possible Sega consoles.
I don't know, honestly. Pero since we're talking about the this is it now, kasi I played the Dreamcast a few times. My cousin had a Dreamcast to a point that I was actually seriously considering asking my cousin in the States, "Hey, do you still have your Dreamcast by any chance? I want to maybe play it." Because aminin natin o hindi, the Dreamcast personally was way ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Way ahead of its time. Online play, online play alone changed everything to video games. I mean, yun nga, you said Phantasy Star Online, Soul Calibur, all these games were on the Dreamcast. Not the GameCube, not the PS2. I mean, later on it did, pero shit. If Sega just didn't get to, what do you call it, trigger happy with releasing consoles?
I think if they just maybe, you know, stay patient and maybe let the Saturn delay a bit, they I think if they delayed their consoles like maybe a year and a half, at least 6 months or a year and a half, they could have had the fighting chance. Or maybe, oh, Steven, we're gonna add a mini what if in this one.
Okay.
What if instead of making the Dreamcast, Sega helped Microsoft make the console instead of trying to beat all the markets? They could have just combined forces and
made hardware,
diba?
Ah.
It's a Sega is experienced, diba? We know how to beat Nintendo, so hey, you want to succeed in the video game industry, we can help you try and help out with your hardware. Ooh. And we know how to market edgy. You want edgy, right? Diba? Diba, Microsoft was a bit edgier than PlayStation and Nintendo rin. So that would have matched. I mean, there's a reason why they had their partnership with the Xbox, diba?
Yeah.
What if they did that earlier?
I mean, wasn't there a point na right before the Xbox? Well, what came after the 360? I don't remember.
Xbox One.
Yeah, the Xbox One. But around the time the Xbox One was gonna come out, weren't there rumors that Sega was gonna try to make a comeback or something? Pero like, gonna be with Microsoft or something?
Yeah,
it would have been like a co-branded system or something?
I think every generation, there's like, I think for the past three console generations, there's been rumors of Sega trying to make a comeback, but
please.
It's unfortunately it hasn't happened yet, but hey, they're succeeding naman with their games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Sonic games are awful.
Hello Kitties and Super Monkey Ball.
But
what else do you want?
The Yakuza series is keeping them alive.
See, and imagine if the Yakuza series was on a Sega exclusive console. I would have bought a Sega console like by then, for sure.
Also worth noting that one of the things that hurt the Dreamcast was Shenmue 2. Because Shenmue 2 is cost like a GDP of a small country to make. It was expensive and kind of set back Sega a lot. Because it was ambitious. But if we didn't have Shenmue, we wouldn't have had Yakuza, or we wouldn't have had. We wouldn't have had open world games as good.
Makes you want the Yakuza some of the mechanics later.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had the immersiveness of we would have had more immersive open world games. It would have delayed it. But yeah, Sega is a huge what if until now, and you know, there's always rumors of them trying to come back with their hardware. But at this point, you know, with hardware, with exclusivity being less and less of a thing. I mean, Sony and Nintendo still cling on to their franchises, but
yeah, of course,
you know, we're seeing more openness from all console brands. So I think, you know,
could you see
the future might not be console, might be gaming services, you know. Maybe the Stadia was just too ahead and it can still survive, because you know, it's still alive. You know, maybe Steam is the future. going digital is gonna be.
Sige, one last question for me.
Oh yeah.
Do you think Sega would ever come? Do you think Sega will ever come back with a console, whether it's through a partnership with Microsoft or a console of their own? Yes or no?
No. I don't think it's viable now. Because, like as I said, that you know, gaming is going increasingly digital, and hardware is, you know, let's face it, hardware is limited and expensive right now. Look at the PS5; we can't even find the PS5.
That is true.
Thank God the Xbox Series X and S are pretty accessible, naman.
Yeah, I mean, our friend Neil, diba, is really convincing us to get an Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really solid. You know, the Game Pass service is something I think would be of the future. Would be a service of the future. Would probably be part of gaming future. Apart from Google Stadia streaming games, game streaming. Instead of, you know, I don't have the hardware to play this, but hey, you don't need hardware. You just need a good ass internet connection, and that's a bit more viable. Even though the internet in this country kind of sucks. I mean, the internet in a lot of places across the world sucks. Even in the US is not really good. But hey,
final one.
No, well, there's two more, Steve. I put another one. I forgot this one. Now, what if the video game crash didn't happen? The 80s, diba? I think this was a result of like oversaturated market, and you know, E.T. Atari. I think it was Atari going into overload mode with having too many games. You know, there's an influx of so many games, but not the games aren't of good quality. Atari games, a lot of Atari 2600 games. There were a lot of great ones. There were a lot of very influential ones. You can make your own game in that system, but the problem is, a lot of them were just steaming piles of shit. You know, they were awful. They were just bad. They just don't play well. They were either too simplistic or you don't get what's happening.
How do you jump out of the pit?
I mean, the manual was there and stuff, but the thing was, a lot of the games in the 2600 sucked. That's why it kind of hurt the North American video game market, caused the crash in the industry, and you know, it took a Nintendo Entertainment System to just save them back from becoming a fad and becoming a billion-dollar industry right now, you know? But the question here is, what if the crash didn't happen? Atari somehow survives. Do you think everything that has happened in the past three decades, past four decades now, would have happened, Steven?
No. I think Nintendo would not have been as big, but I would say that they would still have been able to enter the market kasi they brought variety to a very stale video game market that Atari was catering to.
2600 was
still, I mean, yeah. The 2600, I did not grow up. We did not grow up with the Atari 2600, but feeling ko lang personally, my jaw just cracked. Feeling ko personally, Atari still would have failed because feeling ko at some point the founder of Atari who invented Chuck E. Cheese's would have just focused on Chuck E. Cheese's kasi mas focused niya doon yung business kasi for sure mas viable yun at the time.
Also, like, we're talking, Steven, wait. After the 2600, they went with the 5400, 7200. Mm-hmm. They went with the Jaguar. And which of those succeeded, Steven? Give me one.
None
there, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think if we're looking at it, maybe the video game industry is not as big as it would be. But hey, Nintendo would have had a chance to just flourish still, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not as big as right now, but hey, would have made the video game market slightly smaller today. Smaller big, than it is today. Or maybe esports or the video game industry, right? It would have taken a while to reach the pinnacle of capitalism that it is on today. So,
and non-union work, overworking people, like what happened to Cyberpunk 2077.
But hey, if the video game crash didn't happen, Atari wouldn't bury E.T. copies in a Nevada desert. Thank God that's true. It's one of those urban legends that you wish were true.
It is true.
Because, you know, yeah, it is true. It's finally, you know, when they dug it up and they went like, holy crap, it's actually real. They made this.
Yeah.
Now it's one of those, it felt like an early meme that was actually true, you know? I mean, a real life meme right there. But yeah, video game crash. Now we have one last. Now this is the funny, this is the craziest what if. And let's go. What if Nintendo and Sony continued their partnership? Now, for context, Nintendo wanted to integrate CD-ROM tech into their console, into their next console. And they wanted Sony to do it. Sony was like, yeah, let's go. They made a partnership. They made a prototype. You can see on the back, on my background, they made the Nintendo PlayStation. I think that's what you can call it. They made the original PlayStation, which has a CD-ROM drive and a cartridge. But Nintendo had like cold feet on the deal. They ditched Sony without telling them.
Oof.
And they announced that they were having a partnership with the rival of Sony, Philips.
Is that what led to the 3DO?
Panasonic was 3DO. Panasonic, I think, just tried. Philips had the CDI console.
Ah, okay.
And Nintendo allowed their properties to be in the CDI. Let's just say that the CDI in games based on Mario and The Legend of Zelda sucked so bad that Nintendo doesn't even want to recognize that. Sony got mad. Sony got mad that they didn't get the partnership. They were blindsided by Nintendo, and as a way of revenge, they created the PlayStation and has beaten Nintendo in console sales in like 1-3 generations out. In 1-3 generations out of 4 so far.
Ah,
they beat the Nintendo 64. They beat the GameCube. Everyone lost to the Wii.
Yeah.
But they beat the Wii U, and so far they're still ahead of the Switch. Mm. So that's one thing.
Pero ito yung debate. Is Switch technically the same generation as the PS4 or is the PS5?
I think it should be on the PS4 generation. It's a weird in-betweener. Because I think Nintendo is or either that or it's really it's in the next generation talaga. Kasi, you remember, it's gonna be, Nintendo is still gonna support the Switch in the foreseeable future. And they're gonna upgrade. they're eventually gonna upgrade the hardware of that. They need to make a Switch 2.0, literal 2.0. They need a viable upgrade. Not a high def screen update. They need a complete processor overhaul. Because if they're looking to have this console, have the Switch for their future, they need to do it. But hey, we're talking about the PlayStation. And now, what if Nintendo didn't back out? What if they just continued their partnership and tried out the new PlayStation? Let's not call it Nintendo or Sony. I think the branding is just PlayStation. Right? Yeah. What if the PlayStation was a product of Sony and Nintendo? Would it succeed or not?
I feel like it's a case of two super creative forces that would have clashed too much. Kasi aminin natin, yung PlayStation kasi mas daring sila.
Yeah.
Na Nintendo is daring in a fun way. Sony is daring in a let's fuck it, let's go away.
Remember, I mean, Sony kind of did the Sega way by catering to the Western market.
Yes, exactly. But they kept like their Japanese identity pa rin yung Sony.
I mean, they had Squaresoft to do that for them.
That's true. Exactly.
They had Namco as well. They had Tekken.
Diba? So if it wasn't for that, feeling ko talaga, regardless, mag-aaway talaga ang Sony and Nintendo sa time na yun. So I think nobody would have won. If the partnership continued, it would have been weird kasi regardless, Sony would still want their own system at some point. Sasabihin na, thank you for teaching us everything about video games, blah, 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 blah. We would like to do our own thing.
Well, they kind of did that with the...
Exactly. That's exactly... It's what they did, except without the... It would have been that. It would have been Sony politely telling Nintendo, thank you for teaching us. We're good.
Thank now you. We can, We're gonna make now it. We can show you how to beat... Thank you for showing
how
us
to how beat to beat you.
Now,
sobrang ultimate fuck you kasi sa Nintendo, diba?
Here's a take on this. If Sony and Nintendo had this partnership, I think Sega would have lasted one console more at least.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Sega would have had at least a successor to the Dreamcast because I think the Saturn could have had a fighting chance if the PlayStation screwed up. Because I think it would have been bound to screw up because Nintendo has an image, has a clean, child-friendly image to maintain. Well, I think Sony would have wanted to try something new, diba? Would have tried something a bit more bold, a bit more daring, a bit more mature for their audience, a bit for the older audience. So, you know, something like a Sega of America would do. So, yeah, I think Sega would have at least might have caught up to the PlayStation if that would happen. And the Dreamcast would be a thing, and maybe Microsoft would have if Sony and Nintendo still had their partnership during the PS2 GameCube era and still had the PlayStation 2 as a Sony and Nintendo thing, I think Xbox would have swiped everyone blind there.
I mean, unless like let's say we got Shadow the Hedgehog on Dreamcast and not PS3.
So well, if Sonic was actually good in 3D,
yeah, it would have, I mean, the last one. What was the last good one? Generations.
I can't even remember. Sonic Mania was the good one, but it wasn't really made by Sega.
Made by the fans, diba?
It was made by a fan who loves the old school Sonic games, and it was really, really good because you know. He knows what Sonic is because apparently Sega somehow doesn't.
I mean,
even though they're sitting on that franchise for the past, for its entire history.
But parang feeling ko kasi they have so many franchises they could use, pero hindi lang nila na ma-maximize. Like, okay, gets ko si Kazuma Kiryu is not.
Would you want a Super Monkey Ball esport? I think that happened.
Oh
actually.
Shit, that'd be fun. That
would be an
fun.
Actual big ass.
Kasi diba si Kazuma Kiryu is in Super Monkey Ball na rin.
So, well, he's a Sega property, so yeah.
Pero feeling ko lang, like, medyo gets ko bakit you can't really maximize Kazuma Kiryu because, well, he's a mobster and, you know, you don't really, like, want to associate. Pero parang ang sayang kasi ang dami rin nilang other characters they could have, like, maximized instead of just Sonic.
I mean, they have Alex Kidd, which was kind of popular sayang. In Europe. Sayang. They have, but yeah, Sega would, I mean, Sega was an arcade king. They could have created, I mean, Dead or Alive is technically, Tecmo Paga, Dead or Alive, but yeah. Soul Calibur was once exclusive on the Dreamcast. So that was,
I still have Soul Calibur 6 and 4, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, now they have 6, which is still going strong. But yeah. If Nintendo and Sony continue their partnership, I don't think Nintendo nor Sony would be as strong as they are still today. That would have weakened them instead of strengthening them. Because the conflict and the moves that the goals that they might have wanted would be completely different from what each company wants. So Sega would have had a nice little fighting chance. Hey, let's go. And Microsoft might have tried entering the gaming market or just stomped them by showing that PC is the superior platform
to play games. Yeah.
So it was either way, maybe a crazy partnership there. But yeah, I guess that's it for video game what ifs. That was a lot of video game what ifs. We covered a lot of ground. I think most of that we covered a lot of new ground because a lot of these what ifs are very discussed a lot. Story.
Yeah.
Have been discussed so much, but we have had a few ones that were pretty cool. Okay, let's go. Now for our plugs, let's go. First off, we have a new podcast called Evolving Backwards. It's a slice of life podcast where we answer one question and it turns into chaos. Fun. It's available for free on Anchor and Spotify, so you can just listen and download the episodes right there. And yeah, 2 episodes so far. You know, we're looking to make that grow and make that a fun little podcast, fun, entertaining ones. We might have a few guests, a few extra people here and there. That'd be cool. Now, Steven, where can we find you? I'm going to put your socials here.
All right. So I am at Stevie Sedyup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So I usually talk about ice hockey, but then again, you know, ice hockey is in the off season right now, so not much to talk about. Besides, I don't know, maybe watch that documentary called Crimes and Penalties on Netflix that is available right now. It is about a...
Hey, Lucky Dogs.
Yeah, it is about a mafia boss who decided to buy a hockey team for his 17-year-old son.
That's like...
And the 17-year-old son became right the GM, which makes zero sense. But somehow, it worked. Sadly, the father was involved in some not so clean activities. So I'm not going to spoil too much for you, but you have to watch it. It's on Netflix right now. It's called Untold Crimes and Penalties. I am on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Stevie Said Yup. You will find me sharing posts about food and hockey, mostly, and music.
Now for me, you can find me on Do This Drew on Facebook. I have recently streamed some for the past few days on I've been playing Splitgate, so yeah, I'll be streaming more often, maybe not in the next few weeks because I'll be heavily focused on work, but I'll try streaming next week because, you know, I just wanna get a few games up, so I'm still playing Splitgate for much of the next streams. But yeah, follow that. And yeah, for like fun gaming content, I'm also looking to play other games in the future. Gonna be cool. So yeah, I'm gonna be streaming on Facebook and that's gonna be fun. Now, for the Geeky Ones, first you can visit thegeekyones.com. Recently, we've written reviews on Splitgate. And Steven, what's your upcoming article?
Not much yet. I mean, we've been talking about just promoting our episodes. We did talk about the Double Down because it just came out this week.
Double Down.
And the Double Down.
Yeah.
Personally, get the Zinger Double Down. Do not get the regular Double Down. Kasi masyado maalat, sabi ni Derv, yung regular Double Down. Get the Zinger one.
Okay, let's go. We talked about the Squid Game review. We also mentioned the 5 best Gundam movies. You may like that one. Also, we also related to one of our previous episodes. We also talked about 5 video game remakes that you should play. Really cool list there. And yeah, we have a lot of blogs in the future. Gonna be cool to add them up there. And for the podcast, now you're watching us live on Facebook. We're also live on Twitch and YouTube. But you can also listen to the audio version. Also listen to the audio version on Anchor, Spotify,
Google Podcasts, and other podcast platforms. Google Podcasts,
yeah. We are like on a lot of podcast platforms. Yep, but for our socials, you can find us at The Geeky Ones on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and YouTube. Yeah, it's just at The Geeky Ones. You can find us there. You can find us conveniently. And yeah. Like or follow would be cool because I think we have to do this one again. We have a Comixology $10 gift card giveaway that's not sponsored by Amazon. Now, the goal is to reach 100 followers on Twitch. All you need to do is follow to be eligible for the giveaway. And the other one is help us reach 1,000 likes on Facebook. So what you have to do is just like the page, like, and then like the pin post. And comment
on the pin post, yeah.
Yeah, which comic book related guest have we had on the show for the past
few
episodes? Now, so we have a handful of them. So that's going to be cool.
Now, just a heads up, since Comixology announced that they're shutting down, this will become an Amazon gift card because Amazon decided to shut down Comixology coming soon. Amazon will now be integrating Comixology into the main Amazon website. So there's a high chance we will be giving you an Amazon gift card. Not a Comixology gift card anymore. So we're going to have to update that very soon. So, yun, kasi I think I announced on last week that Comixology is now going to be integrated into Amazon. So feel free to use that coupon for anything you want on Amazon, though I don't know what you're going to get for 500 pesos unless you're getting books. So, yeah. That is it. We are now at 932 likes, I think, and counting.
On 935, maybe. I forgot.
Nice, nice. Kunti na lang. Malapit na. We're going to give away the gift card.
But yeah, this has been episode 89. Once again, you can listen to the audio version of this by next week. And yeah, thank you for liking and following. And thank you for watching as well. And for the audio listeners, thank you for listening. Now, this has been The Geeky Ones, and we'll see you until next episode. So, bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
This episode of The Geeky Ones is presented to you by Ambidexter. Check out ambidexter.media for more information.